This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
36-36 tie in overtime. Chiefs first down and goal to go.
When your coach believes in you that much, gives you the belief to go out there and do it and execute it.
Mahomes looks to throw it. Pump faking. Right side he wants it. A comeback cut. It is caught by Kelce. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Now when it's grim, be the grim reaper. Go get it.
And the Chiefs have won this incredible divisional playoff game in overtime.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, DPHRO and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. If you were going to get yourself into sports trouble this weekend in New York, this would have been the weekend to do it, because nobody cares, right? If the Knicks were going to have one of those horrendous losses, yesterday would have been the day. If Julius Randle was going to not address the media and embarrass himself yet again, yesterday would have been the day. Because nobody cares. All we care about is the greatness of the NFL weekend.
That's it. That's it. You had a free pass. No, luckily for us Knicks fans, we actually went out and we won. We took care of business.
Which is great. Strong,
which is great. But no, I mean, you got, for football fans, even if you're not a football fan, like if you're just a casual fan of the NFL that will sit down and watch a game, I mean, you got a real, especially that last game, what a treat you got.
But they were all great. Really, the first game was great. I thought the second game was better. The Brady Stafford game was better. And then last night, you got
good. Yeah, that game was bad till it was good.
It was bad. It was awful. But then it got great. And also, you know, had Brady involved, 27-3 as opposed to 28-3. And then last night was like shrimp and lobster and filet mignon. Like it was as good as it gets.
No, I mean, you don't see quarterback play like that. I mean, that's two of the best in the game, just going back and forth, shot for shot.
Shot for shot. Yeah, no, it was great. It really was. It was just a phenomenal football game. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Again, just to set the table for you guys, 6:45 around the league, 7:15 the Frenzy, which should be fun this morning, and 7:35 Rex Ryan joins the show as he does every single Monday. So I know that people feel a way about it. I don't know what the answer is to fix it, but what's your take on this overtime? Because I know it's going to be a big topic all day long.
Well, of course it is. Of course it is, especially with that game last night, because you just felt like whoever got that. I mean, you said it when Sherry was yelling at you to bring Alex up to bed. You said, no, don't worry, it's going to go in overtime. She said, no, it's going to go 3 or 4 overtime. You said, no, whoever gets the ball first is probably going to march down the field and score. So, yeah, it sucks that we didn't get a chance to see Josh Allen. But let's not forget, I mean, the same exact thing happened to Kansas City against New England.
That's right.
And they lost. And then after that loss, they actually took a new rule for the overtime to the competition committee, and they were shut down.
What was their rule they wanted?
Well, because they had that both teams should, regardless of if a team goes down and scores,
both teams should get a chance
at least one possession, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they got shut down.
Which I would like to see.
I mean, it feels like it. Listen, again, I know player safety and everything else. And you're trying to keep this thing fair, and the last thing you want to do
for playoffs.
No, I know, I understand what you're saying, but this is that's exactly what we would want to see. And I'm sure in that moment, I mean, when you lose, the Bills right now wish they had at least one more chance with the football. But again, they come down and score. Now all of a sudden, you're keeping these guys in the field, injuries and everything else. This is, there's still two more games these teams hopefully get to play. I think player safety is a part of it. I know I heard a bunch of people say, well, just play a 10-minute quarter. And that just the full 10-minute quarter, like a regular quarter, and then whatever the score is at the end. But it's an extra 10 minutes.
You'd prefer to see that than this, though.
Well, yeah, if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, of course.
No, but regardless, like a 10-minute quarter, I don't know. I think it's more fair than what we have right now. You knew, and how about this stat? And you know this is going to be stolen by show after show after show. You know what Josh Allen was in calling the coin flip heading into that overtime last night on the year?
He was perfect. He was perfect.
9-0.
9-0.
Not 9-0.
Well, not only that. I mean, I was looking at some of the stuff. By the way, the rejoin, terrific job, RJ and Ray. But Andy Reid, when things are grim, be the grim reaper. Oh, how good is that?
That's great.
So with 13 seconds left in that game, the Bills had a 91% chance.
Which surprises me.
Low, which seems
right. I would have thought like 99.8.
No, 91. No? That's the beauty of Pat Mahomes. Like,
so there's
Mahomes.
A one. I mean, if that was the Giants, it would have been 100%.
100%.
If the Giants were down three in that situation, what were the odds that they could come back? None. It's an impossibility. They could not come back and win
negative.
That game.
If they could give negative numbers, they would give negative
but
numbers.
But you're sitting here telling me that there was a 1 in 10 chance that he was going to lead them into a field goal in two plays?
But again, Dave, it goes to show you when a team, first of all, they have, I mean, tons of talent. One of the best quarterbacks that we've ever seen, which is, you know, obviously the most important thing.
It's going to four straight AFC championship games.
But again, you mentioned earlier in the show, when you watch these teams play, you realize how bad New York football has been.
Yep.
What you also notice is that when a team has talent, they have a really good quarterback, but they're coached really well and they know how to execute. And, I mean, they had all their timeouts. I know it's only 13 seconds, but that first play call to Tyreek Hill was a great play call. No one, listen, boom, timeout. And then, you know, Kelsey, I don't know how he's that open, but whatever, boom, and you're in field goal range. Like, when good players are coached well and execute the way those teams did down the stretch, I mean, it's beautiful to watch.
It really is. And when you have both, when you have players that are ultimately so competent coupled with coaches that do that, this is what you see.
Exactly right.
This is what you see. Let's take a listen to Andy Reid. Then we'll get to your calls on the overtime. 1-800-919-3776. Andy Reid, any advice for Patrick Mahomes before that game-tying drive with 13 seconds to go?
Yeah, when it's grim, be the grim reaper and go get it. He did that. He went, made everybody around him better, which he is great at. You know, he just does it effortlessly. When it gets tough, you know, he's going to be there battling. Players appreciate that.
You like that quote, don't you?
I
when
love
it's
that
grim,
quote.
Be the grim reaper.
Love that quote.
What kind of defense is Buffalo playing?
No, they
though?
Were gassed. They were gassed. Both
I understand
gassed.
You're gassed, but I mean, just allow 10 yards. You can't allow 20 yards to Tyreek Hill and then another 20 to Kelsey.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, you could say the same thing about what the hell. I mean, what are the Chiefs? What's the Chiefs defense doing
on 4th and 13
with Gabriel Davis? I mean, what are we doing?
Hey, who is that? Who is that cornerback that fell down?
He put him in the.
Do you know who that was?
I felt so bad for him, man.
Please tell me that was DeAndre Baker.
No, it was not DeAndre Baker.
Oh.
That was another big loss for them, too. I mean, that was the first series of the game they lost.
What, Matthew?
They lost the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
To the concussion.
That was a big loss.
That was Hughes. That was Mike Hughes, I think, that got all tripped up.
Mike Hughes. I mean, have you like watched it with just an isolated camera on him?
Yeah, he got all crossed up.
He fell over himself.
He fell right down, yeah.
He fell over himself. Nick in Staten Island. Good morning, Nick. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, guys? Longtime fan. Listen to you guys every morning on my way to work. Just want to say that this overtime rule, this game's going to go down in history for the change of the overtime rule because there is absolutely no reason why Josh Allen shouldn't have had that ball. Going into after the overtime.
So, Nick, what do you want to see? You want to see a corner or you want to see each team get a possession?
I think you should go to the college rules. Each
no,
team
no,
line.
That's awful. No
that's
way.
Awful. No.
No.
It makes everything interesting. You
no,
know?
It's awful. It's not football anymore. It's not football anymore.
Yeah, but here's the thing about the rule. But here, okay, the rule got changed, right? The whole notion that before that – whoever wins the coin toss can go down, kick a field goal, and win. That's ridiculous. That's so stupid.
Especially now, right? You get to the 38 and you're in field goal range.
Especially now. Exactly right. Especially now. But here's the other thing I'll say. You lose the coin toss. And I think in that moment last night, I think we all realized. Because, I mean, both defenses felt like they were gassed. The offenses were just clicking at a different level.
Whoever won the toss was going to win the game, yes.
Yeah. But, again, Buffalo has or is supposed to have the number one defense in the National Football League,
mm-hmm.
correct?
That's okay. correct. Well, they do. Not even supposed to. They do. They have the number one defense.
So just don't let them march down 75 yards and score a touchdown.
I mean, they
hold
couldn't
them
stop
to a field
them,
goal.
They couldn't. The one, see, that doesn't even upset me as much. The one that would have me sleepless for nights was the two plays into field goal range.
All of it.
Sleepless for nights. So, but your two options are each team gets a try or you play the quarter. That unless somebody calls us something better,
it's going to be if anything, it's going to be each team, regardless of if the team with the ball first scores a touchdown, we'll have a possession. That's it.
This is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. Now RJ says to me they could just do the Ravens thing. I don't know what that means. What is the Ravens thing?
So last year, and I don't expect this to pass, but it's just a different, you said a different way to look at it. Where, Rick, have you heard about this?
The Ravens proposal from, yeah.
So they want to have the winner of the coin toss. You flip the coin.
Yeah.
The winner places the football, right? That's all you get to decide. Down where you want it, whatever yard line on the entire field. What happens next is the team that lost the coin toss gets to decide if they want to play offense or defense.
Wait, so if you lose the toss, you are now guaranteed, if you want it, the football.
Yes, but
so you would have taken it at your own 1 yard line. No, I don't like that proposal, because you know what? They still would have gone down and gone 99 yards.
Yeah, I'd assume you take the ball no matter what. But if you take it at the 1 yard line and you go 3 and out, you punt it back. Now the game's over, basically.
Correct. But do you think that either team wasn't going to go 99 yards there in that situation?
Yeah, you were going to take the football.
Yeah, I don't like that proposal.
I don't know. Are you really taking the football though?
Yes.
On your own 1 yard line?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Come on.
On your own 1 yard line?
Yes. All you need is one play. You make one play, you get a first down, and now it's over.
Yeah, or if it just so happens that poor snap or whatever it is, safety, game's over. There's safety, the game's over.
Safety, game's over. Holding in the end zone, game's over.
So, I listen, I just think they don't want the guys on the field for that much longer than they're already on the field because of the injuries and everything else. If you want to make it, both teams get at least one shot, I'd be fine with that.
I'd be fine with that, too. How about both teams get one shot and you have to go for two?
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Because if you're going to kick the extra point, that you're going to make, and then it's just going to go round and round and round.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Tyler in Tinton Falls. Tyler, you're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. We're doing great.
The first time getting through. So we had a beautiful game last night, top five, one of the best playoff games I've ever seen. And I was telling RJ that, this is a team sport. It's inevitable for one side who's completely gassed to try to stop one of the best offenses of all time. And you're trying to establish that, the overtime is fair for everybody when it's really not. I really think you should go to the college rules, get the ball to 25.
I hate the college rules, yeah, what
the
they
college,
do.
We're never going to agree with that they should go to college rules. Get that out of your mind.
Everyone could call. Tyler, thank you for the call. If you're lined up on hold with the idea that you have is college rules, it is ridiculous.
The whole point of the overtime, too, is to accentuate or give the advantage to the most well-rounded team. The team that's good in all three phases
and
of the game.
I guess to make it as fair as possible, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they want the best team to win, correct? Yeah, you want, at the end of it, the whole point of a Super Bowl, Stanley Cup, whatever it is that you want, hopefully, the best two teams competing to win the championship.
Right, in the fairest manner as possible.
Okay, so, part of being the best team is being good, and you saw it ended up costing Green Bay. The reason why they're not going on is because their special team stinks. So you want the team that has the best offense, the best defense, and the best special teams. So if you lose the toss, just don't let them march down 75 yards and score a touchdown.
Yeah, they couldn't stop them, though.
And if you do stop them, now all of a sudden all you have to do is kick a field goal to win.
That's right. That's right. But something's got to change, and I think this will be the impetus for that change.
Or better yet, don't let them march down in 13 seconds and kick a game-time
field goal. That's the one. That's the one. Two plays, 40 yards, 13 seconds. That's the one that keeps you up at night.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I forget, so I was in...
Is this the story that you teased in the 5 o'clock hour?
Yeah, you'll like this.
Okay, good.
This is a small world. So Milo had the game in Mamaroneck, right?
Right.
So we play the
7
game.
7 o'clock on Sunday morning.
7 a.m. We play the game, and I'm walking out. And as I'm walking out, the guy, he looks at me, and he's like, "Oh my God, it's really you." I was like,
"Oh my God, it's you! You're the Prince of Zamunda, aren't you?" Does he say that?
He didn't say Prince of Zamunda. So he kind of caught me off guard. And I was like, "Hey, how you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I just want to let you know I'm a big fan of the show. I heard you're going to be down here with Milo. I wanted to come introduce myself and say hi."
Well, he went just to watch your team and meet you?
Because he listens to the show. So
wow.
it's Artie from Mamaroneck. So he says, "Make sure you tell Dave this. He'll think it's funny." He'll think it's funny. He lives in the same house as the infamous Stench from Mamaroneck.
Wait, what do you mean?
They live in the same.
He lives with Stench?
It's a two family.
Okay.
So he lives on the second floor of the house.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN
Stench.
New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
So Bennett and Artie.
I think I'm saying this right. Stench in Mamaroneck.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey, no, it's Bennett.
Oh, my God. RJ, please tell me you screened that.
I did not. I will not reveal the person that did, but it was one of those moments where you ask, did that sound like Bennett on the phone? And you just kind of, oh, okay. Like, that one just got away
but
from
isn't
you.
That Stench
is Don.
Isn't that like
Don
a
is
triple,
Stench.
Quadruple check. Like, all right, sir, what's your name? Stench. Can you say it one more time? Stench. Can you please spell it out for me? Like, if the man claims the name is Stench, don't you need multiple times of clarification?
I would think so, but then again, I've made not quite that mistake, but, you know, similar.
Yeah, but how? The best part of that whole drop, though, and I stand by this, is I know it's okay. So how you go from Bennett to Stench? Well, I have no idea. Right? Like RJ said, it got away from you. But if it's spelled Stench on the call screen, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, Peter.
I love it.
How else would you say it?
Betts and Stennett. Right.
How else would you say Stench?
Don't lump my stupidity into I think I'm saying this right. Stench.
How else would you say it?
Can you imagine that? Oh, he's adorable. What does he look like to you? Oh, he looks like a stench to me. No, you cannot name a child Stench. It was Gunling, wasn't it?
Maybe that's a short version of Betts and Stennett, though. Because the guy says his name was Bennett, right?
Maybe. Bennett.
By the way, speaking of Don, has there ever been a better... Like, if we played a game, go through somebody's Twitter account and pick out one tweet that best describes them as a human being. That'd actually be a pretty fun game. There is no better tweet than the tweet that Don put out to describe who Don LaGreca is. The tweet is, "Anyone else lose Oilers Flames on DirecTV?"
Tell me that was last night during the championship game.
No, it was the other night. "Anyone else lose Oilers Flames on DirecTV?"
You know, it was unbelievable. Do you ever follow John Rothstein?
Yes.
The college basketball guy at CBS Sports? You could have like this, like anything happening in the world, like major catastrophes have happened and everyone is commenting on it, or even like last night, like just great sports stuff, like, God, the Rams and Brady's so great, comes back again, or the Bills and this comeback, or Allen and Mahomes, and your entire timeline is littered with it. And then you get to Rothstein, he's like, "Boy, no better coach than Kelvin Sampson in a big spot, tough as nails." It's like, what? Why are you, don't you understand what's happening? And he doesn't care. Like, I've actually said to him, because I know him, he's a really nice guy, I've said to him, "Listen, you know, when there's shootings in schools, maybe don't, like, Dana Altman is as good as it gets in college basketball." He's like, "No, I do college basketball, and that's what I do." Like, he's defiant about it.
Yeah, his name is Dana Altman, and he aligns Rubik's Cubes. That's what he's putting out there for you.
That's what he had last night during the championship game. Dana Altman, and he aligns Rubik's Cubes. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Justin in Tom's River. Justin, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Rick and Dave. What a weekend of football, man. I can't remember all the games in the divisional round were so competitive like that and came down to the last second. But I wanted to talk about the Packer game. You know, really watching that game, the turning point in that to me was that second drive when Mercedes Lewis fumbled that ball. They were moving the ball up and down the field, and Mercedes Lewis caught the ball, and the Niners ended up popping it out and getting the fumble.
Yep.
And then when the Niners got the ball back, the Packers forced the fumble, and the call was overturned on the replay. And I totally think that sucked all the momentum on the Packers side, and they never recovered from that.
You're talking about the Ayuk?
And also talking about
fumble?
With this overtime. Yeah. I honestly really like the way the overtime is. The way the old overtime was, where you just needed a field goal and the game ended, I thought was absolutely horrible. But now, I mean, you're totally taking defense out of it. Granted, this game was, we all wanted to see it go longer. But at the end of the day, football is offense as just as much as defense. And we knew whoever got the ball first was going to win, especially with the Chiefs, their secondary, the way it was. But I really have no problem with the way the overtime is.
I think you're in the minority.
It depends on the matchup, too, though. I mean, you hear the outrage when it's, you know, it's a matchup, too. I mean,
when the game is 36-36, you're going to have
people freak out. It's a shootout. It's the same thing. I mean, when the rule affected Kansas City negatively, it was because it's Brady Mahomes.
That's
right. Brady gets the ball first, so of course.
And the Chiefs defense had nothing left, remember?
Yeah, so, and it's, I mean, you watch Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes go back and forth in the final 2 minutes, and you're like, I want to see more of this. So on your point, though, with the, you know, going for two, I was reading someone on Twitter, and it's a good idea. I mean, it incorporates what you just said, is that the only way on the first possession that the game is over is if the team scores a touchdown and then converts the two-point conversion.
So you have to score the 8 on the first possession?
If you want to end it.
Right.
Well, now, but why just kick the extra?
But of course you would want to end it, no?
Well, I guess. Or you say to yourself, no, I mean, we kick the extra point. We'll see if our defense can stop them. And when we get the ball back again, we'll go down and end it. Because at that point, both teams have touched the ball. Now a field goal wins it.
So now if you go for two, you don't get it. You're up 6. They come down. They get the touchdown. Now they just kick the extra point and they win.
Exactly right.
Gotcha.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I mean, you have some insight here because you have some ties to the Tampa area. Brady retirement, legitimate? Or you think this is another just fugazi story about Tom Brady and he's going to hang him up?
I think there's some legitimacy to it. There is some. I think some of the speculation was, does this add a little extra something to this team to kind of get them over the hump? That this could be Tom Brady's last go at it. Does it, you know, mentally, does it get them a little bit more dialed in?
So you think
in?
This was a planted story to motivate?
That's been some of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the thought is, I mean, he's always said he wanted to play to 45. He's 44. No one's ever played at 45.
I can't believe he's still so good at 44.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's probably going to finish what? If he doesn't win the MVP, like, and who knows? Like, that's still, we don't know because there are some people, I mean, you've already heard it, that won't vote for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Now, has it been voted on already?
Yeah.
And then they reveal it at a later date, right?
Yeah, I think that's...
Because if they had to vote on it now, even if you wouldn't think it would impact, I bet you his flaming out in the playoffs again would impact him.
Well, that's why that's why it's a regular season award, so all the votes have to be in. So he'll finish at the very worst, runner-up.
Yep.
Yeah, runner-up for the MVP. I mean, he's playing as good as he's ever played. And you said 45. No one's done it at 45, so why would you come this far to now all of a sudden just walk away?
Yeah, I think he probably gives it one more year. Let's take a listen. Here is Tom on his future.
I haven't put a lot of thought into it, so you know, we'll just take it day by day and see, kind of see where we're at.
I imagine he tell them at some point in the not-so-distant future. Here's Bruce Arians about the future of one Tom Brady.
When do you expect you and Tom will talk about his future?
That's up to Tom. I mean, just like all veteran players.
So they're not going to give you anything now.
I'm sure he's gonna sit down and figure out, I mean, family-wise, because, you know, he can't be half in. You know, a lot of people would say, hey, just, I mean... You know, you get ready for the season and you play.
But nobody understands. Like, my kids are asking me, well, why would he retire? I'm like, do you understand what this, like, this is not a, show up on Sundays. This is don't see your kids a lot. Go to bed 7 o'clock. I can't have a scoop of ice cream. Like, this is a lifestyle, a life changing decision for him. Maybe more than anybody out there.
No, absolutely more than anyone out there. I mean, people are trying to, like, there are guys that strive to get to his level, to have the kind of commitment that he has. Like, I mean, there are some guys that, yeah, could just, I mean, go through the off season, spend, you know, plenty of time with their family, do, you know, the bare minimum workout, whatever they have to do, and then show up and play and be okay. But that's not, I mean, that's not what he's trying to accomplish.
I got a question for you. I think this is a good question. In your mind, better chance that Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady retires?
I think there's a better chance that, no, I don't think either of them will retire, but okay. I think there's a better chance that Brady would retire. Aaron can't retire. Aaron needs to try to get to the second Super, win a second Super Bowl.
I got to tell you, and I loved watching Aaron Rodgers play. He's not winning a second Super Bowl.
I hate his. I love him, but his body language sometimes really annoys me.
But you even hear him in the like. But that's just his way. Like he is, you know, very overly relaxed, very cool. Nothing phases him. All right, this is what.
Yeah, like, but in those moments, though, I don't need relaxed. I need show me that you're not going to let us. You're not going to allow us to lose.
I agree with you, but that's not who he is. He is a laissez-faire, just, you know, go with the flow. Nothing's going to phase him. Very relaxed. I mean, it plays well for him in huge moments that don't become pressure packed for him because he's so relaxed. Often, and then other times when you hear him just like, oh, well, you know, we went out, we lost, we tried, defense was good, special teams was not, I was not, and it's frustrating to hear.
But that's part of what makes him great. I mean, it frustrates you, but that's part of what makes him great.
Sure is.
Is that ability. I wish I had that ability sometimes.
He has now played 15 playoff games since winning the Super Bowl. That is he has not won a title since. That is the longest stretch of any player in football history to play that many playoff games and not win a championship.
And that's part of his legacy. And does he? I mean, again, and that's I like to believe, like knowing him a little bit and how competitive he is. That, and I think he's. I mean, he's mentioned it before about his legacy. As talented as he is, you just mentioned that he's only been to one Super Bowl, only won one Super Bowl. You see his record in NFC Championship games. The way this thing was lined up, yeah, I mean, if he wants to be in that upper echelon, that best of the best,
mm-hmm.
he's got to, I mean,
look at what he's got on his
resume.
He's
got to at least get to another Super Bowl.
They were 15-1 and at home field and got crushed by the Giants, right? They had a championship, a Super Bowl appearance ready to go, onside kick. They couldn't get that. They lose that game. They're home against Colin Kaepernick and the Niners. They lose that game. Now, the one that I would think wouldn't haunt him was a couple years ago in San Francisco when they just got literally run over by the Niners because they got crushed. But last year, I mean, you made a decision, which people are still killing you for, by not running it late stages, where Brady got picked off 3 times in the second half. And then this, where you had 2 opportunities to win this game and you couldn't do it either time. I mean, I love him too. I think he's just a phenomenal quarterback. But yeah, you have to feel a little bit differently about him today. I think you have to.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting about last night, about this weekend after that game, was how everyone was blaming the special teams. And the special teams, it wasn't good for them all season long. So, I mean, they should be blamed. But, I mean, the reality of that game is your defense balled out. Rashawn Gary was a stud. Like, they balled out. Your defense
10 points.
Was awesome.
You scored 10 points
in that game, and you only scored one touchdown. That's
inexcusable.
Your defense did what it had to do, and you guys, the offensive side of the ball didn't.
That's right. Let's go to Kevin and Brick. Kevin has a solution for what's happening in overtime. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, buddy?
Hear me out for a second here. I think the way to go with overtime is this would just be for the playoffs only because it would be a little grueling, but you basically would just play a miniature version of a game. You would flip the coin in the beginning, and the team who wins would choose to receive or defer. And you would play 2 halves, you know, 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay.
Team gets the ball, you play the half, and then there's a halftime. And then you kick off, and the team that lost the coin toss gets their chance at the ball. and then it's the end of the game. It's the second half of the overtime, and you play it that way. You create a small version of a game. That way the coin toss is the same value as the coin toss in the beginning of the game.
But why not just play one 10-minute quarter?
I guess that's, you know, the same idea. Whoever gets the ball first, I still think gets an advantage there.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Why?
Here's the other thing, though. But time out. Here's the other thing you got to take into account, too, is the TV aspect of this. So what happens if this is, I mean, what happens if this is the first game? Do you think the NFL wants it to run into the second window of games?
No, I think you're right there. But, you know, it's a unique sport, and it's hard to find a, the NHL.
Yeah, but it's the most physical. But the other thing, though, too, Kevin, it's the most physical sport.
Yeah.
It's the most physical sport, too, though. I mean, you don't want guys to start, and again, I know, I'm sensitive to it. It's all, I don't believe a word of what they say as far as player safety. But
they
don't care. They don't care. But there is, I mean, the point of overtime is to end it as quick as possible. I really like the rule, the one that we were talking about, I like that one so far.
We have to go for two?
No, you don't have to. If you want to end the game, if you score a touchdown on your first possession and you want to end the game.
So first team, so first team to eight is what you're saying then?
No, it doesn't have to be to eight. So if you want to end the game, it's the same rules, but if you want to end the game on the first possession, you have to go for two and score
the
2-point conversion.
Okay, so you score a touchdown, you got six, you go for two, you get that, now you have eight, game's over.
Game's over.
Okay.
So that way the defense has two chances to stop you. They already let you score the touchdown, but now it's a legitimate play to get the 2-point conversion. If you stop that, now all of a sudden it swings in your favor because you can go down, score a touchdown, and just kick the extra point to win. But there's
also better than what we have.
But then there's some strategy to it, too. I mean, do I want to try to end it now? Or do I say to myself, okay, let's kick the extra point at 7. Now, they have to go all the way down the field and score a touchdown. They can, you know, they can decide whether they want to tie it up.
But now, last night, you know what happens. Chiefs go down, get a touchdown, go for two, get that, game over. And we'd be having the same conversation right now. Josh Allen didn't touch the ball.
Yeah, but again, you can't be a prisoner of the moment. I mean, the team had, there's a defense and there's an offense. Like, we can't just go like, the defense is a part of the game. And you have one of the best defenses in the league. Like, don't let them march all the way down the field and score a touchdown. We're not having the conversation.
They couldn't stop it, though.
I understand that. And that speaks to the how good Kansas City's offense is and how well they executed.
They were phenomenal. That was a treat of a game.
If you're a Buffalo Bills fan and you're upset that you didn't get the ball in overtime, you should take a look in the mirror and be more upset that you gave up a game-tying field goal with 13 seconds left.
If I'm not exaggerating, if I was a Buffalo Bills fan, you probably wouldn't have me for 2 to 4 days on the show this week.
I would be right there with you, man.
I felt all, and I don't even care about Buffalo. I felt sick about that loss for them last night.
Well, just looking at their sideline, man. I mean, the roller coaster of emotions. Like, I mean, it's it. Gabriel Davis scores that last touchdown. They're hugging like, this thing is done. It's a wrap. We're going to the AFC Championship game. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, no. Okay, now we have to play in overtime? Like, trying to compose yourself to go, like, thinking you won it, and now having to compose yourself to try to go back out and get your offense the ball back? Forget it.
What level of productivity? We'll go around the league in a moment. What level of productivity do you think they're getting done at work up in Buffalo this morning?
No, if you're a good boss in Buffalo,
take the day.
The day's off, yeah.
I think Tuesday.
There's nothing good that's gonna happen today.
No, I think it's you know what, guys, come back Wednesday. You send an email last night. We know you're gonna get nothing done. You're responsible adults. You'll do your job when you get back. Take off through Wednesday. Come back Wednesday morning.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I might need the week.
Yeah.
I would probably use my time off.
And I'm telling you, the Giants playoffs, I mean, that feels like it could be
laughable.
Decades away.
Laughable.
But if that happens, this would be you and Carlin today.
No, we can disappear together. I'll go with you.
You would disappear?
Yeah, we'll go on a little vacation, me and you. I'll get you back.
Okay. All right.
I was so proud of Cassie. You would have been too.
No, I wasn't. She fell asleep.
No, not for that game. Because she was emotionally drained. How upset she was when the Rams kicked the game-winning field goal. She's like, I would have rather just stayed the way it was, a blowout.
She's right.
Oh.
She's 100% right.
They ripped my heart out, she says.
How angry did she get? Did she throw something?
She was not.
What did she do? How bad did it get?
She got up. She took a pillow that was like next to the couch. She slammed it down.
And she shot a gun into it.
No, she slammed it down, and then she stormed out of the room.
Good. Did she punish a child? How deep did this go?
No, Milo took his Brady jersey off. I was disgusted.
Really?
He's like,
did he rip it?
No, he's like, I guess this thing isn't lucky. I was like, Milo, you didn't even watch the game. He's like, it doesn't matter.
All right, Santi, let's go around the league.
It's time to go around the league.
Well, Around the League is always brought to you by the fine folks at Jackpocket. I feel like the entire show, Rick, has really been one giant version of Around the League. But that being said, let's start in order. How good, and we haven't even discussed this, because Allen was incredible. Mahomes was sensational. Rodgers was not good. But how good was Joe Burrow in that game on Saturday? 9 sacks, constant pressure, had no time to do anything, and still throws for 300 yards and leads his team to a game-winning field goal.
Yeah, he's a stud. He really is. I mean, his confidence, borderline arrogance, it permeates the entire team.
This is year 2 for him, right?
Yep, year 2.
Year 2, he's got them in the AFC Championship.
Well, barely year 2, too.
Right, because he didn't even make it half the season last year.
So this is the first half. This was the Tennessee Titans' first half. They allowed 7 rushing yards, had 5 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, and 4 tackles for losses.
And trailed. Weren't they trailing 9-6 at the half?
9 sacks and you lose.
Unbelievable. Here is Joe Burrow on sacks, and you got to take him for his word. It didn't affect him.
No, stuff like that's going to happen. We've been really good the last 5 weeks on protecting the ball, and you know, sometimes stuff like that's going to happen. I thought defense did a great job responding. That was really the key to the game.
Their defense did play well, actually.
But just take the sack, though. That's it, right? Just take the sack. Yeah, it sucks you're taking a sack. It's a negative play. But just don't compound the issue by making a stupid throw or fumbling it.
Well, he's got that. He doesn't do that. And then you mentioned...
Let me ask you a question about that game. And I know it was on Saturday. Remember the sequence where they went for it on fourth down, where Tennessee went for it on fourth down?
Oh, with those awful play calls?
What are you doing? Why just give the ball? If you're going to give Henry the ball on fourth down, why not give him it on third down, too?
They kept Ryan Tannehill with the ball on
third down. Yeah, he pulled it.
Yeah,
that
was some. And how about the one last night? Now, this gets lost because of how great the game was and they won. But the Chiefs, they bring in like the third string tight end to run the option to Jerick McKinnon?
I know.
I mean, it was staggering McKinnon, how bad that play was.
McKinnon's been a nice pickup for them, too.
Great pickup. It just goes to show you. I mean, Dante Foreman, Jerick McKinnon, right? I mean, last week it was Deshaun Vaughn. You can find running backs anywhere.
Speaking of running backs, so I saw this weekend. The running backs from the 2017 draft. You ready for this? Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette, Austin Eckler,
wow.
James Conner, Chris Carson, Matt Breida, Marlon Mack.
Pretty good. Pretty good running back draft. Can we continue?
Yeah, we can. Let's continue.
All right, Evan McPherson kicks a 52-yarder at the buzzer. No stress, no pressure. Here's Joe Burrow on McPherson, confident in the final kick.
Give a little warm-up swing, and he said, looks like we're going to the AFC Championship, right before he went out there to kick it. And when you have a kicker, I mean, we knew exactly what we had as soon as he walked into the building in camp, and we just saw how he carried himself. You know exactly how a kicker is going to perform when, obviously, everyone at this level can kick.
They drafted him in the 5th round. He better be good.
Oh, he's good.
He's not good. He is great.
No,
he's been
fantastic.
Great this postseason. Sensational. Sensational this postseason. Did you see who deflected the football away on the final interception from Ryan Tannehill, by the way?
Yeah, that was Eli Apple.
Oh, yeah. It was. The great Eli Apple with that deflection. All right. So then we turn our attention to the night game, and that is Niners-Packers. Looks like this is almost over, right? Niners had their chances, couldn't capitalize. Garoppolo gets picked off. They had another third and fourth down sequence that were very questionable. But in the end, as all the quarterbacks, for the most part, were able to this weekend. Aaron Rodgers was not able to get things done. Here he is on the loss on Saturday night.
You know, disappointed in the offense. 10 points, obviously not enough. The defense, man, played outstanding. Special teams obviously hurt us, you know, taking points off the board, giving them points. But offensively, scoring 10 points, never good enough. Felt good about the first drive, went down, right down, scored. You know, had a good drive going the second drive, board turnover, and then just didn't put a whole lot together after that.
Don't you wish that he would just
a whole lot? Didn't put a whole lot together. You put nothing together.
Nothing. You had 50 yards in the second half.
Well, I mean, just after that fumble, I mean, you had three and out. I mean, punt. It's just, and then you got the field goal blocked. And Jimmy G gave you a gift at the end of that half. Gift.
Oh, my God. What a terrible throw that was.
Ugh.
How did they want, what was it, a holding call there?
Yeah.
That they got backed up into that, like, second and 19?
Trent Williams, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He so, made some, RJ, I don't know how you were sitting. You said you were sitting down. Like, some of the throws that he actually completed that, like, to the outside that just felt like they were just hanging in the air to be intercepted, I would have been having a nervous breakdown.
Well, there were a couple of plays, and I'm sure you could picture them in your head, where if the DB, if the corner
was looking,
has, like, inside leverage and drives on the ball.
Well, he went to the outside that one time.
there's a lot that went their way.
I can't believe you were sitting. Did you nap at any point during the game?
That was for one play I was sitting. I happened to be sitting for a punt.
Stop it. Who sits during that?
Sometimes
this is,
you can't tell.
As emotional as it gets.
Listen, to be fair to RJ, sometimes you can't tell whether he's sitting or standing.
Oh. That's nasty. So now you just got to go after Santiago at some point to finish the...
No.
The around the horn.
No, Santiago's my guy. It's my Thursday Open guy. I don't go after Santiago.
We'll wait on it. We'll wait on it.
Yeah, he'll go after you, Santi, at some point. Here is Matt LaFleur on the block punt as RJ was sitting.
I think there was more than just that play. I don't know exactly what happened. I'll have to go back and take a look at the tape. But we had two blocks in this game, and that obviously played a big part in us coming up short.
I'll tell you what, you didn't block the guy right up the middle. That's what happened.
Yeah, don't even get me started. I mean, as bad as that was, we're still covering that game. As long as you can just get the punt off.
Punt it, 48-yard line. They're not going down the field and scoring the touchdown.
No.
But it happened, and they picked it up. And I'm pleased for RJ.
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
All right. Well, he's a good fan, and I'm pleased that he got it. Yesterday, early, I mean, back and forth, the Rams did everything in their power to not win that game. But late stages, long plays to Cooper Kupp, and the Rams get out of there with a win.
Well, not having Tristan Wirfs was huge.
Crushed him.
And then, Wells is banged up. He was on the injury report all week. You could tell, like, he wasn't, like, he was getting pushed back and wasn't putting weight on his leg.
And he stinks, too. And when he's healthy, he's not good. Well, he's terrible.
It was funny about those games yesterday. It was like the Rams were trying to give the game away, and then when you watch the Chiefs versus the Bills, like, both of those teams are trying to snatch the game away.
Yeah, and that brings us to the game yesterday. We've discussed it probably the most, and we'll continue to in the 7 o'clock hour. It had everything. It had offense. It had record setting. It had excitement. It had the quarterbacks. It had the drama. It had overtime. It had frustration in the overtime rule. I mean, that really, Rick, is one of the greatest games we've seen in the history of football.
No, it was amazing. It really was. The back and forth, the amount of talent. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the show, when you have that kind of talent, well-coached talent that can actually go out there and execute, I mean, that's fun to watch. That's how football's supposed to be. I mean, that's how it's supposed to look. But.
Yeah, I didn't remember that's what it's supposed to look like. But in fact, it is. Here's Josh Allen. I feel awful for him. On the Chiefs scoring with 13 seconds left in regulation.
It's disappointing right now. It hurts right now. And, you know, you can say it's going to be better. We're going to learn from this. And it's very cliche, and nobody wants to hear that. But I truly believe that this unit will learn from this. You know, we've got a pretty young squad. A lot of guys coming back next year. And we just got to use this as fuel for the fire.
Do you think he goes missing for, like, a couple days?
I would.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I give that kid tons of credit, man. He is... They ask him to do so
everything.
Much for that team.
Everything.
So much. Here's the other thing, though, with them. You say what you want. I mean, it felt like, you know, this was the year where they were slaying dragons, right? Like, they beat up on the Patriots and everything else. This was going to be next after they lost last year. It's only going to get harder for them. Mahomes isn't going anywhere.
Nope.
You got Burrow now getting some experience in the AFC Championship game. Herbert.
Mac Jones with another year under his belt.
So it's not going to get easier.
No, it's not. I'll tell you what, that AFC is... Oof. Enjoy that.
Who knows where
friend.
Rodgers ends up? I mean, Rodgers could end up in the AFC.
Good. Let him go to the AFC, too.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.